The boy in the corner.
Lorraine, welcome to the dairy.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I'm really looking forward to this. It is one of our sofa sessions. Yes. And to have you in, I'm nervous and excited about the same time because I love what you do at one of your jam sessions. And so we're going to be talking about your musical past. We're going to be talking about what you're currently up to and some future projects. And you've tracked a couple of incredible tunes.
I have. We're basically just going to be dragging all my business into the street musically. We have tracked a couple of tunes. Do you want me to tell you what they are?
No, we'll get to them in a minute.
We'll get to them in a minute.
I'm just really looking forward to sharing them on this podcast.
Thank you.
Obviously celebrating 15 years of a very special event as well. All of that to come. So first off, what made you get into this music industry and what made you tick when you were growing up? How did it all come about?
Well, you know, kids are always singing, but I just sang all the time. And the school that I attended, the primary school that I attended, is not a million miles away from here. It is St. Leonard C of E School in Mitcham Lane, Streatham. And they had a good program at the time for kids. I mean, this was during the days of ILEA, in a London education authority. And there was a state choir. So they took children from all the schools, made one great big choir. And we did things like festivals at the Royal Festival Hall. And then when I then went up to secondary school, this opportunity was still available. Only now we're at the Royal Albert Hall and we're backing people like the great baritone Willard White, stuff like that. And I'd always known I wanted to sing. Plus, I was very blessed with family who introduced me to different types of music. You know, just because you're from a certain culture doesn't mean you have to listen to a certain type of music. And melody intrigues me and lyrics intrigue me. And, you know, I just love how it's all put together. The making of music, before I knew how to make it, intrigued me. So I was bound to do something. I was, you know, into all sorts of little things as a kid, dance, and I could bat a rounder's ball, trust me. But I was never going to be doing any running. No.
And then as you sort of grew up, how did it start becoming more of a profession? How did it evolve from those starting places?
Well, coming from quite a strict West Indian background, of course it was learn your books, education, do this, do that, don't do that, because I don't like that, you know. Mm. You'd get that. So you'd get all the instilling and the sort, we call it instilling, but it's really bullying. And I suppose for a little while I put it down because I didn't know how to go about it. But by the time I was 18 and you're sort of branching out, you're meeting different people. I was in college. I was meeting people who sort of were setting up little studios in their bedrooms and stuff. And you'd go and you'd make noise with them and they'd give you a tape because during the years of cassette tapes and you'd play it and you think, I don't sound half bad. So by the time I well, between the ages of 18 and 19, so you're talking about 1991, I'm now going to jam sessions, but they're soul jam sessions. I'm going with a group of other singers. We're like-minded, we're the same age. We're all trying to, you know, get where we want to be, although we're not sure where that is. And then all of a sudden, at one of these great jam sessions, I believe was at The Spot in Carnaby Street, I decided this isn't for me. All this soul singing, because they were doing a lot of Motown classics, Stax Record classics, Sounds of Philadelphia, you know, stuff like that. And I just wasn't with it. I wanted more jazz. So then I would, to make it easy on these soul session players, I'd say, well, I want to do Summertime. We can do it as a groove, but I want to do Summertime. I want to do Misty. We'll do it as a groove. We'll lay it back. We'll do, you know. But that's what I want to do. And as long as you had your charts, which is your music, and you had an idea of key and tempo, and I'm very good at instructing people on what I want, you give them a little talk through, and then you just do it. And it always went down well. And I thought, these are the chord formations I want my voice to be accompanied by. And this is the way I want to sing. And this is the sound I want. And obviously, I'd been listening to all sorts of vocalists coming up. Not very many women. I didn't listen to many women as a child. I thought Al Jarreau was fantastic. George Benson was even better. I listened to tons of Johnny Mathis. Loved Steely Dan, so Donald Fagen's voice. I don't know why, I just thought, when I grow up, being a woman's got nothing to do with it. I will sound like these men because it's the smoothness of the voice that I wanted. I don't actually think I've achieved it, but these gentlemen I've mentioned, and more besides, even the likes of Mel Torme, I mean, how sweet and how melodic is that man's voice. When he sings, if you don't find yourself going, oh, and just laying back and relaxing within the moment when he sings, then you're someone who's not really tuning in to his melodic tactics and style.
Now, you mentioned the soul jam sessions. Just talk us through what a jam session is.
Okay, I mean, any group of musicians, vocalists, like-minded, getting together to jam, just play off the cuff, that genre of music. So this genre that I'm talking about in the early 80s was soul. But then there are lots of rock jam sessions and jazz jam sessions and blues jam sessions. So you've got people who come together and just off the cuff play. You know, they don't have to rehearse. No, it's never rehearsed. If it's rehearsed, it's not a jam session. It's a show. It's a concert.
How did it all come about with the soft music jam
sessions?
Yeah,
well, soft music.
What made you start fronting them or getting involved to actually doing them?
When I was visiting jam sessions and I was just getting involved in singing, there was a great unfairness to who they would have play and who they would have sing. And I didn't like that. And when I first started out, I would turn up at 8 o'clock and I'd get a chance to sing at around 2.
Seriously?
Seriously. It was very cliquey. And I just always said to myself, if I got to run one, it's got to be about the music first. So my only stipulation is, if you've never come to my jam session before, I don't care how good you are, if you've never been before, I will not put you on first. That's because I want you to decide, having been placed on my list to play, that you still want to stay. Some people, having heard the quality, decide they don't want to. Now, if I put them on first, my whole show is on hiatus while you decide to have a panic attack in the toilet.
Just disappear.
Yeah, or just go. That happens.
Robert.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you could be calling somebody for absolutely ages and they're not there. So the operative word is, I am running it, just, you know, hosting it. So I need to know that these people want to do this thing. So I would never put them on first, but I would never say they can't play. As long as you get there in time and there's time for you to play, you're going on. I don't want to be cliquey. I want to share with everybody who walks through the door. Sometimes you've had to say to people, you can't do what you're planning to do, because the spoons is not really an instrument, it's cutlery. But then, you know what? If a brother came and started to sing and then broke out some spoons and did something, he's all right with me. That's fine.
What's one of the strangest requests or things that someone actually genuinely turned up with spoons?
No. No.
That'd be brilliant. We should try it tonight.
Somebody wanted to do Wind Beneath My Wings. The Bette Midler tune from the film Beaches. And this was very early into the jam session that aforementioned. So this is 13 years ago. And I wasn't having it because I didn't want... I really wanted to keep it within the jazz concept. But now what I do is I take people through it. If they want to do such a specific tune, have you got the music for it? Can we share this with the musicians? Mm-hmm. And can we... can we do it in a style conducive to the jam? So it's not my place to tell them they can't do it anymore. Did have someone want to do I Can't Get No Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. But it was clear to me that his sort of style of jamming, his style of jamming was sort of just coming and going, I can't get no satisfaction. He just wanted to sing as if he was in his bathtub.
Yeah.
You can't do that either. Yeah. And my running it has not got anything to do with my wanting to control everything. It's making sure that everybody gets a chance to play. Everybody gets a spot, even if you only get to go on once. I get a lot of people saying, well, the jam session down the road, I'll get to play twice. And I'm like, well, go down the road then, bruv. But if you're here and you can sing once and people remember you, that's all you need to do.
So the Brixton one, how did that come about, and how have you got to 15 years? It's incredible.
Right, the whole lengthy, long, laborious story is that I was doing a lot of stuff with Tomorrow's Warriors in 1998 and 1999. I was doing a Sunday session in the afternoon at some obscure venue, And the manager of Tomorrow's Warriors runs in and says, Lorraine, what are you doing tonight? And it happened to be Valentine's Day. And I said, why? What are you offering? Because, you know, everybody's like, do you want to come out tonight? What are you doing? So she said, well, we've got this gig. It happens annually at the Jazz Cafe and one of our singers has dropped out. So I said, well, how long have I got? And she said, 7 hours. From now to when you go on stage, 7 hours. We will pay for cabs for you to go home. I was in Harrow and Wheelstone at the time. I live in Streatham. So, you know, at the time I was living in Streatham. So a cab takes me all the way there. I get stuck in traffic behind Alan Sugar.
I really?
Did. Yeah, I did. Sir, because, yeah, well, wow. He wasn't a sir then. He was just, you know, he was just sugary. That was yeah. it. So, and I remember that day because I got stuck behind Alan Sugar. And then I waved it in when I drove by. And then I came back, did the gig, got paid, and everybody loved it. Now, the singer that I was singing with at the time was a lady called Julie Dexter. She still is called Julie Dexter. And she said, oh, we've got a hook up because, you know, I've heard a lot about you and you've heard a lot about me, but we've never really worked together. So this was lovely. She said, but I'm doing this gig in Brixton. I'm only sort of depping for another singer. And I'm doing it for 3 weeks. You should come down. So I do go down. And when I go down, the place isn't that full, but there's a couple of faces that I recognise. And she said, sit in. So I did a couple of tunes. And then it was obvious that the management liked me and said, well, how can we get her down here? Because I've left. I've sung my two tunes and I've gone. And then they call for one of the people who knew me to get in touch with me. And they said, well, let's give this a try. So I'm there and it's going really well. And after 6 months, I'm saying, well, look, I've been here 6 months. How do you feel? And they said, well, look, if we keep the concept and you keep going with the jam session, because the jam session lends itself to people bringing people just to hear them play. So even if you start up a venue and you haven't got a big audience base, jam sessions help people to come in because the performers will always bring audience members with them. And passing trade will always stop in when they hear some good stuff going on. So that's why jam sessions really do help venues to keep going through recessions and all kinds of financial, you know, jiggery pokery. Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what happened. I only went to sit in because a mate was running it. And then I got calls and said, well, would you want to do this? And I'm like, yeah. And I had actually been looking for a venue and the fact that it was close to home and stuff like that. It all worked. 15 years later, I'm still in the joint.
All right, we're going to come on to the 15 year celebration. Yep. We're going to talk about that very shortly. But yep. I want to get some tunes on, and you tracked a fantastic session a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
and let's dive into one of those tunes. Tell me about the first tune for that.
The first tune is called "Sip My Tea." I wrote it about my older, wiser, and lovely sister, Marion Dalrymple Irwin. People get us wrong all the time. She's a lot quieter than me. I talk a lot. So people think she's nicer than me. Quiet don't mean nice. That woman is harsh every which way. And I'm not going to tell you any more except to listen to the lyrics, because I wrote these lyrics based on the way my sister behaves, acts, and talks. And she's a chain tea drinker, so it just works. One, two, three. Ooh, I don't want to hear about your day at work, and I don't want to know about your boss who you think a jerk. I don't want to hear nobody's business. I just want to sip my tea. I don't want to know about your brand new house, and I don't want to hear about your sister's new spouse. I don't even care how fine he may be. I just want to sip my tea. I could care less about what you feel is important. You must have better things to do. I don't want to know about what you think is important. I just want to be far away from you. And I don't like the way you wear your hair, and I don't like any of the clothes that you wear. I could give two hoots about you, baby, believe me. I just want to sip my tea. for divine intervention to stop you, but I don't think it would do me any good. I know, please don't you dare to come near me. The thought of you to talk to you, oh, it does scare me. Go away, please won't you leave me. I just wanna sip my tea. Yes, sir, I just wanna sip my tea. Get away from me. I just wanna sip my tea. Ooh-doo. All right.
Incredible. I absolutely love the sound of that recording.
Oh, thank
and
you.
And I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I hope you enjoyed it.
I was pleased with it.
Who was playing with you when we recorded that?
We had the quiet man on keys, Mr. Maurizio Minardi, by way of Italy, but now living around the corner from this studio.
Yes.
And he's a fantastic pianist, accordion player and sax player.
Nice.
Now, you also had the Swirl of the Searle, Mr. Mike Searle. I gave him that name, the Swirl, because if you ever see him play drums... He kind of swirls his body to play and he's got this thing going on.
He's got a wiggle.
He's got a wiggle, but he's now wiggling and swirling with a bass. So if you were to put these two gentlemen in a studio over a course of time, you could get a really good album.
Excellent. We've got another track to share within this podcast a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But let's just touch on 15-year celebration
sure.
of the soft music jazz jam that you've been doing.
Right. On the 13th of April of this year, at the Ephra Hall Pub, Kellett Road, Brixton, SW21EB, I shall, along with my musicians and anybody who wishes to join us in black tie and evening gowns, we will be having a party to celebrate those 15 years in support of Kids Company, which is a charity that stomps out poverty amongst inner London children, because as affluent as this great city is, there's a lot of it going on. Children who don't get breakfast before they go to school and a decent meal when they come back, and God knows if they're even getting, you know, fresh new clothes each day. There's just a lot going on that lots of people would care not to think about. So we're celebrating 15 years of this wonderful musical mountain. I'm really, really proud to have kept it going. I am grateful to the management of the EFRA for allowing it to keep going. I am even more grateful to my musicians in their many different forms and configurations. At the moment, we've got Robert T-shirt Forger on drums. Aptly named because the man owns a million T-shirts and I just call him T-shirt. Miles Bassfing Danso. Bassfing is a nickname he gave himself, but we all call him Bassfing or Bassy. And CJ, Mr. Chris Jerome. Mm. These three gentlemen, they're like brothers when they're not playing music. They're like brothers when they are playing music. When I first entered the business, because they're all a little bit older than me, they were like big brothers to me. And now they work for me. They are mine.
Excellent. Yeah. Look, really looking forward to the 15th celebration.
Yes, you coming in a tux. Yes.
So soft music.
Yes,
let's look forward. Tell me a little bit more about soft music.
Why is it called soft music and not soft? It isn't soft as in the opposite to hard. It is soft. S-O-F-F. It stands for Sister of the Fuller Figure. Ta-da! That would be me. So, yeah, Sister of the Fuller Figure music.
Yeah.
So that's how it got its name. I was in a car with two other fat birds and we came up with that. It was, well, the other one of them was my sister. She's lost a ton of weight now, so she get kicked out of the club. And one was her best friend and she's lost a ton of weight, so they both get kicked out of the club. It's just me and my thighs left. So
I genuinely don't know what to say.
Yeah, men don't usually know what to say when you actually draw attention to parts of your body. But yeah, anyway, so that's how it got its name. And when I released my album in 2009, I needed to release it under a label. So I created Soft Music properly. Before, it was just an organisation that put on shows, networked and did various little different things. But then it became a label. And really, there's more room for other things to happen. I have the capacity now to help people network, to bring audiences to musicians and singers to audiences, and to teach, to do, you know, to do some vocal training and to help other musicians who want to work as teachers for the one-on-ones. You know, people say, I've got this sax, I want to play it, and do you know anybody? I'm the go-between for that. So we're now doing it properly. So this whole party on the 13th of April is going to help relaunch SOF. Going on my website, lorendalrymple.com, will show you what's going on, because it's not just SOF Music Jazz Jams, it's SOF Music Live Lounges as well, which is, the difference is, yes, you've still got a show, but you haven't got people popping up every 5 minutes. It's quieter. It happens in sophisticated establishments. You know, there's no cockfighting in the back.
There's no football match on.
Yeah, there's no football on. There may be a candle on the table.
Okay.
You know.
Our details about that on your website.
Wherever there's a live lounge or a jazz jam, you'll be able to find out on lorendalrymple.com, and all soft music information is on there. Soft Diary will tell you where things are happening, and then the title page for Soft Music, which welcomes you to Soft Music, will let you know what we're all about, because we've also got Soft Music Steppers, which is
great name.
Big Soft Music like Steppers. It's for parties.
It could be a million different things.
Yes,
it?
it's more for upbeat. So it's the antithesis of the live lounge. It's for your party. It's for your wedding. It's for your, you know, whatever your event is. We can hook you up with a nice trio, singer, and horn section, so that people will dance from the time Uncle Fred's finished his speech.
And also with the whole soft music thing, there's quite an ethos of like trying to help people. And in what way does that manifest itself?
Well, firstly, my desire to help people is because I don't believe I've been helped. I have been by friends and other musicians. There isn't a musician who's come into my life who hasn't helped me in some way, even advice. But this business is so incredibly cliquey. And sometimes just the way you look puts people off. And I know that's a really hard thing to say, but it's a hard thing to have to accept, especially if the person's looking at you and decides they don't want to help you. I don't care what you look like. I care what you sound like. And if you don't sound that great, there are ways for me to help you find the people who will help you to sound better. If you don't put music out there, it's dead. If you paint a great painting and stick it in the attic, you may as well have not painted it at all, because it's dead if no one gets to appreciate it, if no one gets to see it. So that's the same with music. If we don't put it out there and allow people to appreciate it, and appreciate it in whichever form it comes in, doesn't matter what tax bracket you're in, doesn't matter where you live, the colour of your skin, how you pray and who you pray to, and, you know, my favourite, who you're making love to. Because some people are so, well, you know, he's one of those. I don't care. Sing the damn song, sing it right, make your audience happy, and then you can go home and make love to who you like. Okay? I know that just sounds a little bit off key, but I never told you I was straight. I am a bit off key. And I suppose that's what some of these big corporations don't like about me, because when they want to kind of bamboozle me and hoodwink me with lots of big words and ways of the business, it really isn't that way at all. And I've been told several times, stop doing jam sessions, you won't get anywhere. Did I ever tell anybody that I wanted to be rich and famous? I just want to make an honest living doing the thing I believe I've been put on this earth to do.
And you're very good at it.
Thank you, darling.
And on a positive moving forward note,
yes.
New album. What's cooking? New album.
Yeah, well, my first album and only album at this point is called Copacetic, and that basically is a colloquial word meaning okay. It meant that everything I'd been through up until that point, I couldn't believe that I would be okay, but I was okay. So, you know, that's where that came from. But it wasn't my first album concept. My first album concept was based on one day just feeling, you know, why is it that I'm so down and I can't get anywhere in the music business? And all the things that I just explained to you came to light. And then I thought, yeah, but you know what? I'm from a great heritage of ancestry where my people were oppressed. And yet they managed to aspire higher. So there is no room for failure. And this came from a story from my parents' native country of Guyana, where there is a place called Levitation Point. The Levitation Tree is there. And legend tells us that slaves used to gather there for their ceremonies and their storytelling and their being together. You can imagine being owned by someone, they didn't have much time to be together and to give thanks for who they were. Time was hard, but it is said that when they used to meditate, they would levitate off the ground. Hence the tree that they used to do this under got named the Levitation Tree, and the place got named Levitation Point. That is to be my next project, Levitation Point. It is to honor my ancestors, because by their striving to aspire higher, I'm here today. And it's not just my ancestors way back, but thanks to my grandparents for coming to England, because if they didn't come, they wouldn't have sent for my mum, she wouldn't have met my dad, and you would have no me. Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. I'm really looking forward to hearing it.
Thank
you. We've got one more musical nugget to finish off this podcast with. Tell me about the final track that you recorded here.
The final track is called Walking in Lille, and I always feel such a twit saying this. I wrote it because I was walking in Lille.
Quite like it.
It's just so dry. But I was walking in Lille, and I was walking through Lille with a fantastic individual, son of Soph, my son, Marius. And I noticed that everybody else who was walking through Lille, like us, was walking hand in hand, but they were part of a romantic couple, whereas I was walking through with my son. And I just liked the romance. I just was watching them, and you know, you could tell they were there on their little weekend breaks too. Obviously, I'd taken my son there for an educational experience, of course, but whereas they'd gone there, you know, to make love. And I decided, yeah, man, I'm writing about this. And this tune kept going. Da, 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 da. So I was like, no, 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 Lille, da 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 da, Lille, da 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 da. I didn't know what was going to rhyme with it, and how it was going to go. By the time we got back to our hotel room, I had lyrics. Now, at the moment, I repeat those lyrics because I do have somebody who's going to coach me to sing it in French.
Very nice.
So therefore, the first verse will be English, and then there'll be whatever, solo, scat, whatever. And then I will sing it in French and maybe bring it back around to English. But I haven't had my coaching yet, so it's still
so
English.
We've got the English version, but the English version is brilliant.
Thank you.
So just enjoy the next 4 or 5 minutes of musicalness.
Thank Let's you. Do it. One, two, ka-ba, don, don, da. Bum, 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 bing, bum. It's a real fine day for walking in Lille. It's a real fine day, so how do you feel? In a cafe over there, romance is in the air, with love for us to share. You can feel it everywhere. Real fine day for walking in Lille. It's a real fine day, so how do you feel? Real fine day for walking in Lille. It's a real fine day, so how do you feel? In the cafe over there, romance is in the air, with love for us to share. You can feel it everywhere. Real fine day for walking in Lille. Yeah, tell me something. King in Leon. Oh, it's a real fine day. So how do you feel? Oh, in a cafe over there, romance is in the air. With love for us to share, you can feel it everywhere. Real fine day for walking in Leon. Oh, yeah. Tell me something. How do you feel, yeah? How do you feel, baby? Oh, how do you feel? Oh, oh, yeah, yeah. Thought of a people in a bed. Oh, how do you feel? Said, how do you? Oh, is this feeling real, yeah? I said, how do you feel? How do you feel? Oh, when you're walking in, 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 oh, when you're walking in. I was happy with that.
Wow, what do I say to that? What an amazing session that we tracked like a few weeks ago here.
Yeah.
To hear that recording of Walking in Lille. Wrapping things up, where is the best place to track down some more information on the whole soft music, jazz jams, and what you're up to?
Anything you want to know about Loren Dalrymple and soft music, click on lorendalrymple.com. And Loren is spelled like Lauren, but I am not that chick. I am Loren. It rhymes with friend, and I will remain your friend if you say Loren. And Dalrymple is Dalrymple.
Awesome.
Thank
Loren,
you.
It's lovely to have you in, and happy 15th anniversary.
Oh, thank you, honey.
Here's to Brixton.
Nice. The Boy in the Corner.